The 2017 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota footy. Oh, what a feeling.
Triple M footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
For Fiat Professional, every worker needs a good wing van. Whether the spacious Fiat Doblo or the powerful Fiat Ducato, Fiat Professional is your right-hand van. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Rub.
For McDonald's Despicable Me 3 Family Box.
Triple M rocks footy.
Sydney players down. Tommy Bug stands beside the Swans player. It may be Mills. He's in the book. In the book.
That probably does deserve the red card. If you sent Mills off straight away for the rest of the game, I can understand why you could bring that in.
I think that's something that should be looked at because it's not fair that Sydney is so heavily penalised like they are now for something that was clearly a Melbourne player's fault.
I'm not very happy about it, but we'll let the match review panel take care of that and justice will prevail there. I didn't think it was warranted on the field.
It wasn't my genuine intent, and it's not the way we want to be seen as a club. I'll cop the consequences that come my way, you know. I've let my teammates down now.
Tommy Bug, you just heard their massive story out of last night's game. The Swans by 35 points, probably should have been 70 points, the dominance they had in the game, but they won. The story is going to be what happens to Tommy Bug during the week, and especially on the back of what happened last week to Bashir Hooley. It's amazing how these things concertina on top of themselves as we welcome the best team in football to the Saturday Rub. By the way, what about this for a cast of superstars? Simon Goodwin shortly, Luke Parker shortly, Adam Simpson's going to join us. The Vault today, the best ever. Hayley Lewis, we're going to hear from, and this is the number one interview of the Bristol's time at 3UZ. But then DJ Brown, and then we've had a medley of songs presented to us as well. And also, I understand, Bristol, that later on today you've got just a couple of things. Mm-hmm. Later on, we haven't had to say this for a while, but they've had to be presented to legal.
They have. both of them are still being legaled as we speak.
Amazing.
And so it's probably going to be 45 minutes or so, maybe an hour, before I can get the tick off. I'm positive I will get the tick off. So tune in about one-ish. Just prior or just after. Because I have got two unbelievable happenings that rear ends some in this box are going to tighten like nothing you've seen before.
Oh, no. Wow. I like hearing that, Bristol. That's cool. We haven't had the legal department this busy since Spud was with us. Spud used to terrorise the legal department demo, and there was no reason for it.
No reason for it. He had no grasp on life, Spud, let alone what's required legally. And I do actually know that BT has got something on one of us, and I'm fearful.
Yeah, I'm fearful,
but I've got something in my back pocket if it is indeed directed my way. Okay, and you know what that something is, so that's going to be unleashed as well, and I'm getting that legal too.
Hey, just on last night, you mentioned the great lineup of guests we got. You know, the Melbourne Football Club under all sorts of pressure last night. They should be credited. You know, Ryan Larkin who's their media guy. No one would know of him, but outside footy. That is, but he was superb in putting up Bug after the game, Simon Goodwin at the time that he did. You know, they did not
Viney
miss a
beat. Had an interview.
Viney as
shattered
well.
From missing the second half.
Tell us about his injury. Well done, Melbourne Football Club, even though you lost. You have taken the football media world forward many, many years and informed all those people that otherwise wouldn't have found out for any other club.
And well BT, it's, when it's all said and done, it's not that big a deal, is it?
No.
I mean, well done to them because it's so peculiar and unique these days to have it done that way. But it's not that big a deal. It's dealt with. We're not going to drag it on.
Amazing the coincidence, Duck, of the Bashir Hooley last week and the very next week. You see the exact same thing virtually happen.
Yeah.
We haven't seen it for how long?
Yeah, not exact same thing. I mean,
what I'm saying is a player knocked out.
Yeah, player knocked
out. In that sort of off-the-ball fashion.
Yeah, look, disappointing. If anything, listening to Juddy and Hodgy there talking about the red card, if anything, if Bug had been sent off, that would have benefited Sydney even more, given that he was on the ground and didn't do too much. He didn't have a great night. I think it definitely affected him.
Yep.
He was obviously thinking about it. And I agree. What it's done is it's taken all the fire out of it now. He's admitted fault. He's owned up to it. Todd Viney sat there, said it wasn't a good look. We had Nathan Jones at Channel 7 at half time. We spoke to him. He said it looked terrible. Then you have Simon Goodwin straight after, looked terrible. The only thing that has to happen now is the AFL changed protocol last week by overruling the tribunal. Guess what? Change protocol again and get this over and done with by Monday morning.
Yeah, they're not going to, Duck, as far as I read it.
Oh, and well, Damo, you've got Paul, haven't you, in this town?
No, I wouldn't have thought so, but I have checked it out. Like you, I know your
comments. Do you agree with that, though?
I've reckon it's been crying out, the game itself, for a match view panel to sit on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock, and I think it would hasten the process. But, again, I've checked it out as best I can.
This will go straight to the tribunal.
It'll go straight to the tribunal, as far as I know it'll be, because it'll be intentional, it'll be high and high, which means it goes straight
there. Is there a tribunal left? Have any of those guys just said, well, you don't trust us?
Well, there's so many questions that come out of it, aren't there, Duck? I mean, you're referring to David Neates, Wayne Henwood and Hamish McIntosh, the three men who made the incorrect decision last week on the two-week finding for Bashir Hooley. So that they can't be comprising the tribunal, I wouldn't have thought, this week. They've relinquished the right to do so. And just another matter, it reinforces the importance of what Simon Lethlean did last week, Jim, on the back of what you said being back-to-back incidents in this space. Because had he not acted, right now we'd be looking at a two-week sanction upon which to compare the bug one. And to Lethlean's credit, he bumped it or pushed it back to the tribunal. It got four. That's what we're dealing with now. But bug has to be five, maybe six.
Can I ask BT and JB, if you were sitting on a panel and you made a decision on something like that or whatever it may be, and then you were overruled on that, how would you feel about that? And would you sit on it again?
I'd feel very uncomfortable. And I would feel there's probably a loss of confidence in what I'm doing.
JB, yeah, you've been the president of a footy club?
Got to be questionable, as in whether it's tenable or not. You know, that would be my view. I know there are other people. There aren't just those three, are they? They draw the tribunal from a pool. But they did get it horribly wrong in the Bashir Hooley instance. I mean, I found that astounding that they thought it was appropriate to give him two games. So I think they did get it wrong. And I'd be very surprised, Purple, if they got this one wrong. I think you're right.
So just with the precedent so clearly in front of us, it just has to be five or six.
I agree. Precedents.
Well, they tell us that we can't, Duck.
No, I know, which they should, but they tell us they don't.
Well, explain why you think five or six. Why is it the same?
The reason for that is this: the action from Bashir Hooley could have been construed as
in play,
ball close by, and also did he absolutely deliberately whack him? Ball in this case with Bug was nowhere to be seen. This is a long way off the footy. And it was a boxer shaping up with his best left hook, knowing that he's going to make contact with his mush, and he made contact with his jaw. So it's as a deliberate action as you can possibly get in footy.
Well, you interviewed Barry Hall on the weekend for the footy show that got beaten by Channel 7's footy show for the first time.
Ding, ding.
By the way, well done. But just on Hall, 10 years ago, got 7 weeks. So in today's game, what is that worth? That's what people are tweeting about. Right.
I think you have to take the Hall example.
Well done the front bar, by the way. Well done the front bar.
I think you have to take the Hall example out of this, Duck, because I think that is, as you say, it's 9.5 years ago. The freshest one, as Jim said, it's back-to-back head-high contact incidents. And I'm with BT on this, that the differences are significant enough to make it at least 1 week more. And I wouldn't be at all surprised
so that's
if it's
8 weeks.
Two. No. Oh. I've said take Hall out of it. It's the Hooley comparison.
Well, five or six,
Yep.
But Purple, I know that things happen on the spur of the moment and all the rest of it, but in 2017, you'd have to say, if you had a quiet moment with Tommy Bug, mate, what the hell were you thinking? Mm. I mean, seriously, that just doesn't exist in footy now. And it's got no place, and everyone knows that.
So the build-up to this game for Melbourne, you know, the fact that they're travelling along beautifully, they're back on their home track, it's a Friday night game, the intensity of the game in the opening 10 minutes was really fever-pitched. Did he get caught up in it, Duck? Did he get sucked into this vortex of aggression and feel that he had to deliver something of that nature?
I don't know, Buggy, so I can't answer that. But what I can say is what we see from afar. And in this sort of smart-alecky, sort of treading that fine line
persona
attitude has been building. And, you know, we know about the tweet and all of that. And, that necessarily wasn't a big factor for me, given that they were mates and all of that. But still, it's still treading that fine line. It's still not really team-orientated stuff, is it?
But, Duck, with
so,
that,
so it's just been teetering on the edge for him. He's very niggly in a lot of games, BT, and he's just gone way, way over the top on the weekend. And you're right, the big occasion might have just gone straight to his buff head.
With that, Duck, and you've obviously been at the forefront of a footy club with that niggle type of attitude you display against an opposition. That Melbourne Footy Club has drawn positively out of the Bug example of this year. Even when they were going a little bit ordinarily before they got on that good run of 8 weeks, BT, they actually drew on some of his pressure acts and the niggle component. So you get what you get, don't you?
With no, I agree with, and clearly this year Melbourne has played right on the edge. We've seen Jesse Hogan. We've seen Jordan Lewis be suspended already. Jack Viney's been on the edge. But right on that edge, I mean, what Bug did is jump clean over the line, and that's the difference there. And look, it's a brain fade. He snapped, and he'll cop his right whack. And like I said, the fact that we're still talking about it, even though he's come forward, he's already apologised, we've already heard from all of those people. I mean, for me now, it's put to bed. Let's just let the tribunal sit and make its decision.
Yeah, they will, and I hope they make the right decision. I think Damo, if a modern player, because the game is so different, if a modern player, tucks up and puts someone in hospital, Byron Pickett style, which has been rubbed out of the game now, I look at that if that happened today, and I'd go, look, yeah, there's no place for that, and yeah, he'll cop his right whack. But I can almost understand that that's half a instinctive footy thing, So, yeah, you're not meant to do it, and we don't like seeing it, and he'll cop his three or four-week spell and all the rest of it. But I can half understand a footballer doing that. Mm. But punching someone in the head, I mean, that's a conscious thing that you've decided is the right thing to do for whatever reason. I mean, that's a totally...
We've come a long way. That sort of thing used to be premeditated. I can give you many examples of premeditation punching.
Not in defence of what he did. I've already said that, but it was a reflex action. Mills has thrown his arm into his chest. I think it was a sort of an elbow into his chest, and it was a reflex action, and he's let it go, and it's a split decision, clearly massively wrong decision. Mm. But it's a reflex action, and these guys are built on reflex. That's what they do. Everything's
instinctive.
That's
not a footy reflex.
No, it's not. Mm. But everything's instinctive. Now, I'm not sticking up for him. I've already said what I think. But it was a reaction, and it was the terribly wrong reaction. But it was one.
And Jimmy, your point, and it is valid in what happens next. As we know, the match review panel sits Monday, and we think it will be referred to the tribunal. I think they've got every right to do what they did with Hooley last week, to make an example of that initially poor decision, to actually highlight what you've just said there about it being not something we see in 2017. And maybe, as a result of that, add a week to whatever it is you think it is. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, because they were very strong. To take on their own system last week the way they did is a significant act in any administrator's life, as Simon Lethlean did. And I reckon he's now on a roll with it, and he should go the next path and do the same with Bug.
The problems for Melbourne are compound, because now Bug will have at least 4, 5, 6 weeks off, whatever you want to call it. Add to that Nathan Jones, Jeff Garlett, Jack Watts, Jesse Hogan, Christian Salem, Dean Kent, Angus Brayshaw, and now... Jack Viney, they have got a significant problem with who they're going to be able to put on the park.
Shows you that to be in the game they were last night, to still have great depth, so that's one good thing.
Absolutely.
Hopefully they'll get a lot of those back. Hey, just very quickly before we leave this subject, and I know we've got Doc waiting on to tell us about the injury to Viney, the red card situation, it's been brought up as a result of last night. Hey, look, what about just for the grand final? I don't agree with the red card, but what about just for the grand final? Because this is the one game that a player may consider, especially one that's retiring, going out with a bang or doing something stupid in that very last game, the biggest consequence game of the year. Maybe the red card situation via video could be for just the grand final.
So what you're saying, BT, if an umpire deems something serious enough, then they can go up to the video, have a quick look at it and say, categorically, 100% correct.
If there's any shade of grey, like the angle's not right, or you can't quite, like Schofield, quite see where the contact was there.
Well, then it's play on.
Don't like it, BT. Don't like having a different rule for one game. I know it's the most important game, but
it's the one game that can make or break.
They dealt with this type of issue after 2004 when Alistair Lynch and Wakeland went at each other. Lynch never played again, but copped a suspension. Adrian Anderson introduced a situation there where any penalty
double.
Yeah. Now, I know that doesn't affect that game itself, but I reckon there's enough incentive to not do what you're referring.
So if Geelong make it, you can still knock out Dangerfield and Geelong can lose the game as a result of their star not playing.
You've been able to do it for 120 years, haven't you?
And the guy gets double, but they've lost the grand final.
We need to get to Doc and find out about Jack Viney. Doc, welcome to you. Rowan White.
G'day, JB. Nice to be here.
Hey, great chatting. Looking forward to your company today. Now, tell us a bit about Jack Viney and what he's got ahead of him.
Yeah, well, we saw him hobbling onto the bench at the end of the halftime break. I thought he'd done his hamstring by mistake, but it's subsequently been revealed he's got plantar fasciitis. Now, this is a real problem, JV. It's difficult to treat, not uncommon in footy, and probably made famous by Rob Harvey
yep.
back in 2005 when he famously jumped off the kitchen table to rupture his plantar fascia. Just he took the injury into his own hands. So Jack has said he's been playing with this all year, so it's a fasciitis. It's an inflammation of the band of tissue on the base of your foot, which goes from your heel bone to the base of your toes. It's usually treated with cortisone, and you can generally get through with that, but subsequently, he's obviously partially torn it last night. That's what gave him that acute pain while we saw him in crutches at the end of the game. Now, this is a bit of a dilemma because his ability to play from week to week now is going to be tricky because you can get further micro tears and you don't want to see him obviously having to pull out half-time for the next umpteen weeks. So the club will probably scan him. They'll probably find that there's a partial tear. And really the only way to treat this is to actually divide the plantar fascia surgically so you release the tension and take away all the pain. Now, if that's proceeded with, JB, he's probably out of the game for at least 4 weeks. So bad timing.
So we heard the stories. Who was it a few years ago, Doc, that jumped off a cupboard and landed on their foot to make sure they break? Who was that?
It was Rob Harvey.
Rob Harvey.
In 2005. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a cupboard. It was apparently the lino on the top of his table. He slipped off and jumped onto it. He was apparently stretching the plantar fascia, but in subsequently doing that, he ruptured it. And it's not uncommon for doctors to inject these to the point where the tendon or the fascia, as it's called, softens up so much that it spontaneously ruptures, it divides, and that releases the tension and gives the athlete immediate relief. So it's an interesting injury, but I think for Jack, they're probably, if they're going to show that it's a partial tear, the only way to treat it is with surgery.
All right, Doc, thanks for that. We look forward to seeing you later on.
See you soon, JB.
Doc Rowan White there, a month for Jack Viney. As I say, the problems compound for the Melbourne Footy Club. Swans, too good for the Demons last night to the tune of 35 points. MCG, the venue. Melbourne's first look at a Friday night for a long time. And their coach, Simon Goodwin, has been good enough to join us. Goody, welcome.
Yeah, thanks, JB. Thanks for having me on.
Always generous with your time, mate. We appreciate it. The game never really got going for you. It looked like I was watching on TV. These boys were here at the ground. But you got sort of owned by the Swans right from the start. What do you put that down to?
Yeah, look, we did, JB. Look, they were certainly very good, the Swans. They out-hustled us around the contest and something we really pride ourselves on. And, you know, they were just the better team in all phases of the game last night. We've had a pretty big prep over the last 4 weeks and it just didn't resemble us last night and the way we went about our play. So from that perspective, it was disappointing.
Goody, do you think it could have had a small effect, what you just said then, the four games in the 18 days? Can that fatigue a little?
Yeah, we looked BT at this period to really build some momentum. We knew it was going to be a challenge for us physically to sustain performance through that period. But to the boys' credit, they've been outstanding. You know, won 3 out of 4 games and played some pretty strong footy and built some momentum in our season. So, but when you look at the way we played last night, potentially physically, it potentially caught up with us. It just, we didn't have that intensity and that speed that we normally play with.
So, you've been around footy a long time. Can you look at this game last night and just put it into, let's just park that over there. Let's not dwell too deeply on this. May you get some benefit out of treating it that way?
Yeah, absolutely, Damo. We certainly won't be looking too far into this game. As I said, I think there's some things within the game that just didn't resemble us. We'll certainly look at various areas and individuals and have a look at that. But you can make change that you don't need to make on the back of some of those results. So we always knew that this was going to be a difficult period. We'll assess it accordingly. We feel like in general terms our game's in good shape. But this gives us now an opportunity to really reset the footy club and look forward. And, you know, we're in a position where we can look forward and there's, you know, some exciting games coming up.
You spoke to us pre-match about the excitement and the positivity gained out of covering for the bigger names and what it had done to McDonald and Pedersen and others. Is it now reaching crisis point, though, with what's happened out of last night? You're going to lose Bug for multiple weeks. Viney, we've just heard from Dr. Rowan White, for multiple weeks. Watts has had a setback. Does there come a point where it actually crosses over when you can get some positives out of what you've been dealing with?
It's a difficult one, Damon. Clearly, you want your best players playing. There's no doubt about that. But we haven't got the choice. You know, we have to see it as an opportunity to develop our team. And you know, I think 4 weeks ago, I said that we were still a developing and improving footy team. And that's the attitude we've had throughout the whole year. So that hasn't changed. Just because we've won a few games and had to find a way to win in a number of environments, that hasn't changed. And we're in that position again through some unfortunate circumstances around injuries. So, well, once again, we'll take hold of the footy club Monday and look at an opportunity for a range of players and for our team to improve and get better. And that's the only way we can look at it. Clearly, we'd love to have our best players available, but some of them won't be there.
What did you make of Bug's situation last night, Goody?
Oh, look, it was disappointing because it's not what we want to stand for, BT. And Tom knows that. You know, he's extremely remorseful. He knows he made a mistake. He's a good kid. They had a really bad moment, and it's not what we want to see. It was a terrible look, and he understands that. Yep. So from Tom's perspective, he'll get judged externally, and rightly so. But internally, Tom will be certainly supported and developed, and you know, he's got to learn from this and make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Now, Goody, Clayton Oliver obviously started on the bench last night. I want to ask you, I know everyone was talking about the fact that he couldn't get on. Now, there are reasons for that, but did you start him on the bench because of the big week that he had and you thought that he might have been targeted from Sydney? Was that the reasoning behind that?
No, it wasn't, Duck. I think he started 5 out of the last 6 games on the bench. So it certainly wasn't that. It's just part of one of our normal rotations that we had trouble getting him on the ground early in the game. I think both teams had some struggles early in the game, and we certainly had him as well. So, no, it certainly wasn't because of that. You know, Clayton's clearly a very dynamic player for us. It can take him 3 or 4 minutes a game to really wind up and get into the game. So, hence, we've used him off the bench early in games, and that's where he's found his feet the best throughout the year.
Goody, we've got to jump to Luke Parker in a sec. Just before we let you go, Jesse Hogan, how far away is he?
Oh, we're really hopeful if he has another strong week that he'll play this week. But, you know, we just want to make sure we're doing the right thing by Jesse and getting him prepared as best we can to perform. So he's not far away, which is exciting for the club.
Beauty, mate. Thanks very much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Simon Goodwin is a star. This man's a star from the Sydney Swans. Just tore last night to shreds, Luke Parker.
Yep.
Right back to his very, very best, and he joins us now. Welcome, Luke.
Hey, boys. How you going?
You would have been a happy man last night, I reckon. The scoreboard didn't reflect your dominance for much of the game, but it was a very dominant performance.
Yeah, well, we were happy with it. And I think the good thing was we didn't leave it down to the last 2 minutes this week. So it was a little bit less stressful than the last few weeks. But, yeah, unfortunately, we thought we probably dominated early and didn't get the reward on the scoreboard. But that happens. And the thing is, we didn't lose confidence and we just kept the foot down the whole time. And it was probably one of the few games where we've played the full 4 quarters, I think, this season.
Hey, Luke, your own form last night was sensational. Whenever I watch you play, I think when you're marking the ball really well and when you've got that real spring in your legs, and you went for one last night that would have been mark of the century if you had have taken it, but your body must be feeling really good now.
Yeah, it is. And I think, obviously, yeah, coming off a shorter pre-season, you probably take time to warm into it a little bit, and look, I'm feeling really healthy now and body's feeling good, so hopefully it's a good sign for the back half of the season. The way that we're playing now gives you confidence to play the natural instinct and play the way that I usually do, so to have the confidence and everyone playing there the way that we are in that fierce defensive pressure football really helps me play my own game as well.
Look, the reaction at the time and post-match to what Tom Bug did to Callum Mills was pretty profound as a viewer last night. Can I get your take and what you felt of that situation?
Yeah, I didn't actually. At the time, I didn't see it. I was down in the forward line and only saw Millsy on the ground and a bit of a scuffle. But, after the game, I watched a bit of the vision and, look, yeah, it's not obviously what you want to see out on a football field. It's a pretty cheap shot. So, look, it's not a tough act. I'm sure he'd be pretty remorseful for it. But, look, these things happen and blokes make bad decisions at times in the heat of it. So, look, unfortunately, yeah, the main thing was I think Millsy couldn't finish out the game, and that was the most frustrating thing for him. He's such a crucial player for us, and set up a lot of our drive off our back line, and has been really courageous this year. So to lose him early on in the game and be one down until halftime when Viney went off, is a bit frustrating over an act like that.
Yeah, congratulations on the win last night. Look, I just want to ask you, I know you're not there, you've stayed in Melbourne, as you told me last night, but Alex Johnson's game is just starting now, been, what is it, 1,340 days or some unbelievable number of days since he last played. What this guy's gone through and to get to where he is today is just an amazing football story, isn't it?
Oh, he's an incredible human being, and to see the resilience that he has, so it's something that I can't believe that he's done that I don't think a lot of people would be able to do. And probably his first 2 years, he probably went into his shell a little bit and just wanted to get through the rehab. And I think the best thing for him was these past 2 years, he's got a lot more involved with the coaching side of the reserves and really buying into the club. And he's an absolute great person to have around the club. And to see him get his opportunity today, I think the first quarter's just finished and he's got a couple touches, so that's the main thing. And look, but to see him back out there is just it's a highlight of all of our year so far. So he brings so much energy to this club. He's such a great teammate and person to have around the club.
Hey, as we let you go, you were on from the start. I thought last night the Swans, that you could see it even through the TV screen, and the big boy wearing 23 was just, you could tell he was in for a night out, and that for you must be so exhilarating when your team starts as hot as you did, and then you look at your big key forward and he was just electric.
Yeah, he was, and the thing is, he's just as dangerous around the ground, and the way he delivers the ball into the forward 50, I think he probably had four or five nearly goal assists where he could have kicked them himself. So to have him creating those scoring opportunities when he's 80 metres out, I know he can probably kick the distance most times, but look, he's probably our best field kick and best shot at goal as well. So to have that combo, it's pretty hard to stop, I think, for defenders. If he's playing deep and they're getting on top of him, he can go up the ground and be just as dangerous.
Hey, mate, congratulations. Magnificent 19 contested possessions for you last night is a mighty game of footy. Well done.
Thanks, boys. Cheers.
He's amongst the finest interviewers of our time.
I'm ungettable.
When he's on the clock, Parko, Denton and Oakes take notice.
I am the man.
He's one of the best. This
is about me.
Is Bristol's Vault.
Oh, now. I was at a high-powered dinner during the week, Purple.
Yeah.
With real inner sanctum footy people.
Yep.
AFL style. The only thing they wanted to talk about was the Vault. Where did the tapes come from?
Not Basha Hooley.
None of that. Where are they at Triple M?
Clearing
are they under
sale.
Lock and key? They were fascinated, Brian, by the whole Vault setup.
I'm not so fascinated.
It has captured Australia. A gentleman from Perth was there. I said, "My dad, are you hearing that in Perth?" We podcast it and listen to it as a group. That's how transfixed we are with the Vault. So we've gone through an amazing time with this, basically 10 weeks of must-listen-to radio. And today we get to arguably the jewel in Bristol's 3UZ interviewing crown, Hayley Lewis.
No.
Who was the biggest swimmer in the world at the time, coming off the Commonwealth Games there in Auckland.
Now, Brian, we have this has become legend, this interview.
No, listen, you can't. Mrs. T could be in the car.
Brian, we need to hear your one-on-one interview for 3UZ, the Good Sports, with Hayley Lewis. Here we go.
What about your social life, Hayley? I mean, you've outlined your training, your school life, and your sleeping life. I mean, any time for a boyfriend or anything like that yet?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Where do you fit him in?
Oh, BT.
What?
At least she was 15, BT.
Is that it? Is it finished?
Brian!
I didn't hear it. I don't want to hear it.
BT, what are we dealing? Where do you fit him in? Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
What about the nervous laugh, too?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, Brian.
All right. Oh, yeah. By golly.
So there's Hayley Lewis. Wasn't a long interview.
Is that all we could play? Did it finish after that?
All we could play.
That's
that one. So
that was the good stuff.
Got a bit juicy after that.
that was the bit we could go with.
Was that the bit you got so legal?
The legals have come back and said that's the only bit we
could
go with.
That's pretty much it.
They said it went for 10 minutes, but you can only play 30 seconds.
It wasn't 30 seconds.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well, anyway, so that was nicely done there with Haley. Then we get to Brian, the 3UZ DJ. This is introducing some of the great songs of the day. Ever listen?
Come a little bit closer. Jay and the Americans at 13 past 6 on 3Z The Good Sports. Currently 15 degrees, expected top of 23.
Little cafe, just the other side of the border.
3Z The Good Sports, you with Brian Taylor through until 7 a.m. It must be love, madness. 14 degrees, expected top 23. Thank you, Ian. Back in one moment with 3Z's sports editor, Dave Loudon.
The Good Sports on the Greater 3UZ.
Yes, we are back in one moment, and here is that moment. Wayne Brown's still handing me little cuttings. What's this one? Tokyo. Millions of Japanese men are panting to buy an unusual present for their wives or female acquaintances. March 14 is White Day, and the men will spend a total of $50 million to give their loved ones a pair of frilly knickers. What do you give your wife, girlfriend, Dave? You married?
Yeah, I certainly am, yes.
What do you give her? Do you give her frilly knickers?
No, I'd steer clear. I think I'll let her buy her own niggas.
Okay, it's 15 to 6, and let's have a little bit of Eurogliders.
Oh, wow. Eurogliders.
Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta. You're the one that I want. 3 to 6 on The Good Sports, currently 15 degrees.
Come on.
Wow.
Playing this. You can't.
What about the on-air sort of instruction from the producer?
From Wayne.
Read that. Come on.
Eurogliders.
Eurogliders.
There was no do-a-diddy in that either.
I
tell you what, there's a real theme when he's talking about or interviewing a female. There's a real theme about boyfriends and then, talking about Valentine's.
No, there's not. It's just the theme you happen to have concentrated on in the editing.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. Mm.
So Dave Loudon didn't want to buy into the conversation about the present.
The knickers.
No. Come on, Dave.
Wanted to really delve into his private life, didn't he? Well,
Dave lets his better half buy her own knickers, apparently.
And then Brian had nowhere to go.
No. All right. So we've got Hayley Lewis, extensive interview with Hayley, and then we've got DJ Brian.
Can we replay that Hayley question just in case anyone missed it? Can we give that one more?
No.
I'm looking at the producer. Can we get Hayley rolled again? He's shaking his head. He's saying no. All right. What we've got now is we've got the medley of songs because, Brian, the vault has taken off. Mm-hmm. Like, it's global. And especially one part of the vault that people have focused on, which is your ability, just when things are getting a little sort of quiet in the interview, to just drop in a little, enjoy the medley. Here it is.
Greater 3UZ Good Sports. Greater 3UZ Good Sports.
Mm. Oh, Bristle.
Oh, no, come on. Come on.
Oh, that is gold.
That's enough.
My stomach hurts. We need. Oh, I don't know how much more this we can get out of this one, Purple. It just gets better every week.
And there's little things that remind you how amateurish it was, but read that.
Producer just hands him.
Read that.
The Wayne Brown, that producer, he was the tour manager to Liberace when he was at Australia.
Oh, no. You can't be doing it. All right, we're going to get to Adam Simpson very shortly with Nerilee Meadows. Before we do, some feedback on the vault.
Yeah, Nicholas Brooks, Brian Taylor taking you all the way through to 7 a.m. Primetime BT. Big Tango, I'll be back in a moment. And here is that moment. Things went down like a lead balloon from there. God. Best Triple M footy vault yet. That's from Tim Mitchell. Stu Fairley's in tears. Stuart Stevens also says, you just got to stop this. I'm going to crash my car if I keep driving.
Man, seriously.
Surely you boys are going to put all these interviews into one package. I'm in stitches. That's Cooper Daly. There's just that's just a touch on Jim of about five or six screens worth.
Well, don't worry about the fact that this doesn't just stay in Victoria. It works its way over to Perth, and even a man with a limited sense of humour, like, say, Brady Rawlings, would find it funny. But I know we've got Adam Simpson. I think he's got the earphones on now. And, of course, a wonderful human being is he, as is Nerilee Meadows. Nez, welcome to you for the first time.
Thank you very much, JB. Pleased to say that the sun is out and the roof is open here at Etihad Stadium. As you say, Adam Simpson joins us now. No Pritis, no Kennedy, no Hearn, no Lacroix. What's plan B here today?
Oh, no, we're okay. Yeah, there's we've got some depth in our squad, and also some youth coming through as well. So, you know, we've replaced them with some experienced players and also got some kids in as well. So we've got a bit to work on over here, and you know, it starts with a bit of respect that we're trying to get back and playing in Melbourne, and what better opportunity than today.
I wanted to ask you about the record here in Melbourne, both here and at the MCG. Have the players taken it personally, because there's been an awful lot of criticism?
Yeah, oh, look, I think they've probably blocked a bit of that out. It's that's not going to get you anywhere thinking about the criticism. It's just, what can we do with our mindset and our prep to get it right? We won round one here, and we haven't won here since, so we've lost three games, and two of them were really disappointing losses. Another one we lost to the Tigers by, I think it was 10 or so points. So effort was what we're looking for today, effort and intent.
Simo, just noticed you're having a bit of a chat to Jack Darling. He's had a little bit of an up and down year. He's a fantastic athlete, as we know. What are your instructions? And do you think that he thrives when he has that forward line a little more to himself?
Yeah, still trying to work that out, Duck, because I mean, we tried him as a key forward in the Gold Coast game. We only had him and Lacroix because of Kennedy's absence, and we played Yo as a forward, and probably didn't work for us. We didn't have enough height up forwards. He's only 190 centimetres, so he's not necessarily a key position player. And also last week we played McGovern and Drew forward, and he probably looked a bit out of whack there too, being too tall. So trying to find the right balance for him. He has been, you know, up and down. He's gone through a few issues off field with his birth of his child, but we've seen some good signs with his intent and pressure around the contest. We've just got to get the ball in his hands a bit more.
Adam, some of the commentary out of the game last weekend focused on Jetta trying to run the clock down and then missing the shot at goal. Was that a big deal for you, as it was for some of us on this side of the fence?
It was. I saw it at the same time live, and he looked like he was looking at us. And I said, well, what's he looking at us for? Go back and kick the goal, and then we realise he's looking at the shot clock. Mm. And look, at the intentions of trying to slow the game down a tiny bit and settle down, and we're good, but just go back, stick to your routine and kick the goal was the message we gave him. And look, he should kick those goals. It was an important part of the game. We just missed a set shot before that with Vardy, so, and unfortunately bit us on the backside in the last 5 minutes.
How do you read the Bulldogs, Simo? Obviously, they've been a little bit up and down, like most sides this year. It's such an even competition, but it was a different-looking Bulldogs last week. They got out of jail, but they took the game on. Is that what you're expecting again today?
Yeah, they've been always take the game on. It's probably what they did with their forward line. It was slightly different. And, you know, 21 marks inside 50, you'd have to say it's a success for them and to score like they did. So played a few players more permanent forward than they normally do. They normally flick their numbers around and have plenty of rotations. And Bonapelli played a bit more on ball, and Yeah, their system and their DNA is sort of the same, but their method was a little bit different with how they moved the footy inside their forward line, which was a positive result for them. So I'm anticipating the same thing today.
Where's Sherrod Wellingham at, Simo?
Well, he's back in the side today, and we've got a few players with, you know, a bit of a focus in the last month or so playing some kids and making sure we keep an eye on our development. He's been one of the players that's been squeezed out through injury to begin with, and he didn't get a walk-up start to come back in the side. So he's back today.
Is that just a realignment mentally, or is it just to get some form?
No, it was more the fact we played a couple of kids and we liked the way they were going, so we thought he could get his form back through the reserve. So he missed 3 weeks, and he's probably not, you know, the type of player that comes straight back into the side. He's got to earn his spot every week, and that's what he had to do.
Tell us a bit about, unusual for a young man, only age 22, to be called Malcolm in Carpini. What's he bringing to the table?
Well, he's played 3 or 4 games now. He's a crumbing small forward with a really good tank. He's got good skill, and he's had really good form at East Perth. So he had 15 or so possessions last week, kicked the goal for us. So he's part of our future, and it's great to see him get 2 or 3 games in a row.
And man close to my heart, Big Dish, the number 21. What's he brought to the club? Have you been surprised? Is it exactly what you thought Drew would give you? Assess his season so far.
Yeah, Drew, he's exactly what he was like when he was 17. He's too nice and everyone loves him, and, you know, take everyone home and take him out for dinner. All those things haven't changed. But it's new for us. It's new for the club. And we definitely appreciate what he's done, not only for the on-field, but off-field. He's been a real asset to us. So we're glad we've got him. His form in the last few weeks has been pretty good as well. So he knows he's here to play a role for us in the short term. But he was a real pivotal point for us last week. So he's holding up his end of the bargain.
And as we let you go, Simo, how are you going? There have been times this year where I've seen you in the box and seen you in presses. And yeah, I thought, what's going on inside the head of the normally very calm Adam Simpson? Have you scratched that head of yours a few times this year?
Oh, I think everyone has. Every coach has at some stage. It just, you know, you're going to have your ups and downs. What the biggest thing for me, I suppose, personally, and for the club, is how we handle these types of games, you know, important games that are in Victoria that the last two times we've done that, we just haven't fired a shot. So that's what I've been racking my brain with mainly, is how can we get the players to have the same intent and attitude here as we do anywhere else in Australia. So it's one of those things. You look at the prep and you also look at the method. So we've done both of that in the last few weeks.
Well, good luck today. Massive day for your club.
Good on you, boys.
Adam Simpson, former two-time premiership star, teammate of yours, Duck, of course, of the Kangaroos, and now doing a great job, senior coach of the Eagles.
One of the most relaxed men you'll ever meet before a game.
Do you think with all the coaching pressures that are associated with doing such a job that nature can hang in there, or do you think it is eaten away at?
It'd be eaten away at, there's no doubt, but he's pretty relaxed, which I think for a senior coach would hold you in good stead. But in saying that, BT, there's been some frustrations. It must just eat away slowly at you. But he's very calm to be around, Simo, and I'm sure that would be that'd reflect on his players. Yep. I've got a buffet theory. You know that. I just reckon that when sides go in a state, BT, and people laugh. I'm telling you, I've asked players about this. JB, don't laugh.
Well, I want to hear the theory.
I've asked, surely you've heard about it. I've asked many, many a player, current day players, when you go into state,
do you eat
way more than what you would normally at home?
Give us the Mickey Martin story.
And, well, I will after. And they have all said categorically they eat way more. So they'll go up, they'll get 2 or 3 servings. And I remember Dennis Pagan, and I've asked Simo about this on air as well, and he remembered it. Dennis would sit there and take notes of how many times blokes would go up and get a new serving, and Mick sort of was on his third serving with ice cream and ice magic on top. And Dennis said, "Hey son, would you normally have 3 bowls of ice cream with ice magic on it?" And you wouldn't. But the fact that it's sitting there in front of you, players do. They go up again and again and again. And now I'm just saying it is one of those very small things. And in fact, Alistair Clarkson and Hawthorn are the only club that do not have the buffet at their hotels. They're made order an entree and a main meal, so they can't continue to go up to the buffet.
I don't know. Jeez. You'd think if you have to do it every second week, you'd work out the right way to do it.
So the world's greatest player, team. Wayne Carey, is putting the
buffet theory,
the bad form of West Coast, down to the buffet theory.
Not just West Coast, all travelling.
All travelling.
Well,
sites.
When they travel, other than Hawthorne, when they travel, they all get exposed.
Well, you've got to admit,
buffet.
That hotel we stay at in Perth, it's a ripper buffet.
Imagine if you got exposed to a buffet every night.
Well, I do over there. The prawns and the crabs, JB. And then a bit of sirloin tossed in with it with just a snack off. Because I go back about four times. And the pizza. And then when you've got this whole sort of shelf of sweets and desserts staring you in the face, gee, the three dishes of main food, and now I've got to get... Well, a couple of these. And there's a bit of cake off there, a bit of cheesecake and a bit of a sorbet.
Chalky mousse.
We went, Damo, on this boat about 10 years ago to the Whitsundays. There was myself, Sam, BT, Gaz, Spud, I think, and the Chief.
One of the great trips.
Anyway, we're on this 100-foot boat. It was unbelievable. We're sitting out having the first meal of the trip, and it was only a brunch.
Yeah.
It was about 10:30 in the morning. And this chef and this beautiful lady was serving us, and this magnificently laid-out table. And myself, as an absolute junior burger, the other five all clocking in over 100 k's. Anyway, they've sat down there.
This tiny little waiter arrived
with these beautiful sort of entree size.
Quiche sort of arrangement. About the size of the bottom of your coffee cup.
Yeah, that's it. So Bristol's, by this stage, you already knew that her name was Bianca. Bristol's just, as it's arrived in front of him, Bristol's gone, Bianca, we need a lot more food.
And then Sam said, Bianca, could you please go and get the chef to come out here? Chef trots out rather sheepishly. He's going, "You enjoying your dinner?" Sam says, "You ever serve us such a small quantity on this trip again, and you'll be thrown overboard."
I tell you. Bristol, before you get going, because I know you've had it legaled and I know you're ready, a couple of things we need to get from you first, Purple. Alex Johnson playing a game of footy in Sydney after 5 knee reconstructions.
And has, as of minutes ago, Jim, according to people who are tweeting in about this performance, kicked a goal in the second quarter, and it's forced the entire Swans kneeful team to gather around him. So that's a really nice update on his comeback to football for the first time since the 2012 Grand Final. No late changes to this game.
Yep.
So both teams as selected, Western Bulldogs, West Coast. Also the same applies for the game down the road, Carlton and Adelaide. And just before we let BT loose, Jim, yes, Luke Beveridge got very fired up yesterday at his press conference. Asked about the issue that we raised a few times on last weekend's footy programs about the club's reactions to the Western Bulldogs umpiring situations. There's a perception out there that there is a favouritism being applied. North Melbourne, Sydney, Hawthorne, at least those three clubs and more, BT, have gone to the AFL seeking clarification on their perception that the Bulldogs are favoured. And Luke Beveridge was pretty angry about that yesterday.
I know for a fact that there was some strong inquiries made at the end of last year around certain things. It's actually questioned that there's an imbalance and a favouritism. If that's happened, that's extremely concerning. And I'm yet to see anyone come up with their own assessment of a game and tell us the ones we shouldn't have got and the ones that the opposition should have got. The two that were highlighted were free kicks.
So there's a situation where last year they tracked it about plus 100 over the course of the year, BT.
What's plus 100 mean?
Plus 100 free kicks, right, over and above. They also were the second best team it came to frees against, so there's not having the free kicks played against them. They're tracking exactly the same this year on that plus figure. They're about plus 50 or thereabouts this stage of the season, and they're, again, the second best team when it comes to free kicks being paid against them. So, again, we're just reporting as we did last weekend.
So, in your opinion, do clubs have a beef or not?
In my opinion, I don't analyse it as deeply as, say, you would, because I don't do that. But what I do know as fact and reported was that those three clubs and others have gone to the AFL seeking clarification on a perception, Duck. Now, it is a perception, clearly, on why these clubs feel the Bulldogs are being...
And what's the perception then?
The perception is that they're being umpired differently to them.
Don't beat around the bush. What's the perception? What are they doing to get the free kicks?
That's what I'm saying to you, Duck. They're asking the question.
I would say that the Bulldogs go in hard at the footy. They're hard at it. Their attack on the footy's hard. And let's be honest, a lot of their players that play in and around the footy, and I'm talking about Dale House and Caleb Daniel and these guys, and even Pickin and others, they're not big in stature. They're small. So when you tackle these guys, you've got to go in lower than what you normally would have. You're not talking about Josh Kennedy and and Fife and, you know, those big-bodied players.
They, team of Pygmy.
They are smaller players, maybe. That's why. That's
I don't know, Dame. I have not privy to any of these conversations. I don't know that there's a favouritism element to theory. It. I don't reckon. I reckon it's much more the footy departments would be going there saying, righto, what's going on here? You can't be... Like the game on the last weekend, Dogs fans will listen thinking I've got a vested interest in it. A 15-2 free kick count a minute before half time. Yep. The footy department would only say, well, right, what's going on here? Are we doing something wrong so that we're giving that many away? How are we better positioning our team to not be that far down in a free kick count? That's what they're doing. I think Luke's actually reacting the wrong way to it.
But it's the Bulldogs game which is prompting the club to go to the AFL. Upon playing the Bulldogs is when these questions are...
Yeah, and I think Gale Clarkson last year was in the final last year who blew up over it.
This is all minor in
comparison all right, come on, Brian.
To what I've got to say.
Yes, right.
This just pales into insignificance. You won't believe this story. Now, look, history in our game, Duck, is really... really important.
It's got the soundtrack.
There are currently 1,800 credentialed media persons working on our game, Damo.
Yep.
99% of all of these media operatives do the right thing. To my knowledge, only one credentialed journo has ever had his credentials temporarily withdrawn. Mickey Warner. Triple M Footy has an eye for the unusual media operators, particularly behind the scenes, Duck.
Yep.
It is true that some media operatives on occasions have sullied all of our names. This particular offence is sure to taint the entire Triple M Footy product. Recalling history, we can all remember when Triple M forensically uncovered a major rort that was occurring under our noses. Red lights and alarms were sounding when a said media person became dehydrated because there were no more drinks left in the fridge. Shock, horror, our self-serve media tuck shop / canteen had been alleviated of all drinks.
Yes,
drink stealer.
This person infamously became known as the drink stealer.
You can't name him, Brian.
While we were all busy during final quarters, this person would fill his 1976 Burley footy bag with the said drinks. There was some conjecture regarding his age, whether he's old or young. He was old. Triple M was also informed there was a young guy caught as well. Now, following on from Drinkgate came Gatorade Gate. Yes, a high-energy drink flogger. Sounds unreal, I know, but it's true. The Gatorade man's specialty was orange colour Gatorade. Extraordinary stuff. A modern day high energy drink thief.
It's Roko.
Well, I can now report that despite CCTV hovering over the media fridges these days, we have on the loose a pie thief.
Oh no.
A non-working media credentialed man and his mates. Yes, a guy who wandered into the Etihad Stadium media food area, and while journos were fixated on the game, he snuck up behind them and wiped out the entire pie warmer just before they would be devoured by the press at halftime.
Wow. Ooh.
While this was not captured by cameras looking over the high-energy drink cooler, I decided how disgusting this was and that I would launch an immediate investigation, as I did not think it fair that 1,800 media would be sullied with such outrageous acts. Last Saturday night it took place. I know this because the journos told me they were hungry. It was the Western Bulldogs North Melbourne game. Now, after tracking small pieces of pie pastry to a nearby private box, my agent tells me that on opening the door and checking who was inside the private box, the one said... who's now known as the pie stealer as a result of the pastry pieces, James Brayshaw.
Oh, no.
There was a small dot of pastry on the side of his face hooked by a bit of tomato sauce. And we now have a cool drink flogger, an energy drink flogger, and a pie flogger, depriving all of Melbourne's medias. No. JB, is this true?
That is a great build-up. The only issue you've got is there was absolutely nothing hidden about it. I came into this box, I came into this box and said hello to everyone because I was sitting up here in the chemist warehouse box. And on my way out, I said to the man who patrols the area, mate, "I'm having a pie."
What about this?
He said, "Yeah, no worries, help yourself." So I took one.
I think you just admitted it.
Oh, I happily admitted.
Box 67. It was a
Mario Tascone box.
It was a non-serviced private box,
not catered for.
Exactly. So.
Wow.
Doo-dum. As he come up the hallway into the box.
You would never have done this, Peter.
Press are watching the game, and not just one or two, or even the top shelf. All five shelves were exhausted of pastries.
Fed the whole box.
That
fed
is the
box.
Greatest
fed
the box. Lot of credit of all time.
Wow.
Oh, I no. happily wow. took a pie, that's true. But now, that was it.
Now, that is a minor story. Now, my big story concerns you, Davo.
Oh, no. Oh.
I have had lengthy contact with my sources.
I will go with that other thing if this is going to go down a certain path.
Media sources. I'm told unequivocally that there is a major play in the air. Now, Damo, what would you say if I were to say that two very senior journalists were to be involved in a shuffle that involved vacating and exiting of one of Melbourne's most prestigious jobs? Damo, I'll put it to you. Oh. That you are being pursued to fill the chief football writer position at the Herald Sun.
Again.
Has there been any liaison between you and the Herald Sun? I'm told that...
I'll look you in the eye and say absolutely 100% bull, you know what. So stop spreading
this. This is what I expected you to say.
No, I'm saying this because you are making this up.
This,
okay? Hang on, Dame. No.
And I've got one on you.
So Damo,
this comes from high sources.
No, so, well, go and tell those people they're
so
talking.
So Damo, they're great enemies, these two.
Yes.
Great, like great enemies.
And one might be taking the other job.
And that's, right. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, you actually called, Rob, what'd you call Robbo? You called...
I don't need to get in the
No, you
the
called
again. We're
Mike Sheehan, Frank Sinatra, and you called Robbo a karaoke singer.
Oh, boy.
And now you might be trying to take his job.
BT, more importantly...
All I want to know is...
No, no, you're talking... I don't like swearing. But
no, no. Are you trying to take Robbo's job?
No.
I know BT. That it's, I know that you can't say yes because...
Are you white-anting Robbo in any way?
Is it true that there have been, well, let's say a convivial coffee
There has
or
not
two
been one thing done.
Just it's, in regard to
BT,
this.
BT, you're talking absolute...
Have you been...
I don't want to say the S word, but that's what you're
talking. Have you been in the offices of the Herald Sun building in the last week?
No, now, I know what happened. Because, Damo, you weren't involved in this at this stage, so I know that. So I know what you're saying is the truth. You haven't... But I do know that there are moves afoot.
No, they're not.
And although you haven't returned the calls yet...
Right. Now, can I get on to what I wanted to say about you?
They are trying to get hold of
and
you.
And it's not what I was about to say to you, which
so
you
this
know
is,
of.
This is a good thing. This is a slap on the back of you.
When I pulled up...
This is Melbourne's most prestigious job.
I agree, but hey, hang on. If the job
Duck.
Was... If the job... I'm asking a
Duck.
Question.
We're not even talking...
You're, hang on. You ask me a million questions every year.
It's my job to ask questions.
And they're generally crap, so I'm going to ask you one. If the job was to become available... Would you take it?
No. Ooh. Now, BT.
Gee.
BT. Damn, when I got into the car park,
top position.
I left
given the
Herald Sun by choice about 10 years ago, BT.
The paper has collapsed.
Yes.
This one is going to be...
And Caro's overseas. Now,
this is a big story.
Just copped a little drive-by.
Well, no, well, she has a go at you for not going to a North game, BT.
She's been away.
BT, when I got to the ground today, one of the technical officials who I do say hello to as I walk past the gate each week gave me a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge, come here. He told me that on a upon a request that you had made to Triple M, which was transferred through to stadium management, had been relayed to this particular individual. He had to put the work overalls on, Jim, during the week.
Brian did.
No, this particular man downstairs. Get his tool pack and come up to this Triple M box.
Yes. And?
To move something.
Oh, no.
Now, we all know that BT loves his space. We know that he draws lines where Ashua can and can't sit.
Yes.
What you may not have picked up on yet today, Jim, is something that has happened against you. that monitor is now sitting 20 centimetres closer to you than it was previously on the back of BT requesting of Telstra's Etihad Stadium management to move it
that
away
is
from
astounding.
Him.
Oh, I've got close connections here. That is true.
That has been moved 20 centimetres on the back of you. This poor guy had to come up and change it.
That's where
it's
it
now bolted
be.
Into that.
What it does, it secures the position of Astura forever. in that he can never, ever sit in the front row again. That's what it does do.
So you actually forced stadium management to move that 20 centimetres.
I asked them.
No. They said they had to do it.
Anyway, you better answer your phone, mate, because that is a fact. And, you know, it could combine with perhaps the ratings during the week. Not so good on one show and reasonable on the other and dicey. Maybe job-seeking sort of opportunities. I don't know whether that's connected.
Yeah.
I'm just...
But it could be.
Well, you told me I should be able to assume that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you two. Oh.
Is that the best you can come up with, you two?
though, mate. We've got some news to get through with you. We haven't properly got to all of the news yet. We've touched on the Luke Beveridge issue with the officials
kicks, yeah.
and the free kicks. Alex Johnson, we know, has kicked a goal.
Half-time of that game now, yep. Jim, and he's now kicked two goals. So that is going as well as could have possibly hoped. We know there's about a dozen Swans players from last night's game who travelled to Canberra to watch that game, and they're there in support as his teammates who he absolutely swamped him when he kicked that first of those two goals. Ben Reid, BT, Duck, Jim, out of the Collingwood team to play tomorrow. It's an interesting selection decision made by Nathan Buckley to go into this game without him.
Why? What omitted?
Yeah,
but omitted. Why would he be omitted?
Lyndon Dunn was what Nathan Buckley said was one of two players who were playing better than him at this particular point in time.
He swung forward last week and was okay, BT. You remember they swung him forward. But
and how wouldn't you want his kicking and swing man ability? Well, what happens if Lyndon Dunn gets taken to the cleaners early in a game? Yeah, where's he going then?
I don't know. That's very unusual
Gee, that
choice.
Is it a
match-up specific decision given that they're playing Hawthorn?
I would have thought Ben Reid is in the team regardless of
who
any
plays.
Match-up.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
He's
100%.
Fit,
he's a gun.
It did seem strange. Connor Blakely, we learnt yesterday, was omitted from the Fremantle team. He'd been named Thursday night, then taken out Friday afternoon on the back of knowledge the club had gleaned on him on Wednesday, surfing Duck and BT, after he told the club he was feeling a little bit off colour and wanted to leave training early.
Well, when I first heard this news, I thought, it's not that bad. He's just gone for a surf. But then I found out, JB, he's an esky lid rider. He's not even a surfer. He's a boogie boarder.
Oh, no.
How he doesn't cop
he's,
boogie boarder.
Apparently, he's a boogie boarder, BT. You're a bit of a paddle boarder.
Well, you run over there.
Yeah. That's what I'm about. They call them speed humps.
So he deserves 10 weeks for taking time off to boogie board.
I can't imagine you, Duck, ever wanting to leave the track for starters, let alone leave the track to do something you shouldn't have done while you're playing. You might have been a little bit different since
boogie
you retired.
Boogie board riding is like an extreme outside softy.
Right. BT, just back to the question, did you ever seek leave from your club on a given day and maybe you've gone and done something you shouldn't have? I'm sure you did. You're prepared to admit it right now?
Can't remember. Probably. I know that I sought to go home in my first couple of years over here as a young kid because my grandfather had died, my grandmother had died, my mum had died, my dad had died. None of them died, of course, but I'd let the club know
And you went back?
Yeah.
I think every job that I've ever had, other than footy, I would have... maybe told a lie.
I remember one night Collingwood were training out at La Trobe. It was La Trobe University, long way out from Victoria Park, and I decided I'd ride my bike out to be deliberately late. And I also had another thing. I thought if I ride my bike out and get a puncture, then I'm no chance of to training. So I said I rode my bike and I got a puncture. That's why I didn't turn up to training.
No,
I missed the training session. It was perfect. Yep. Only got halfway.
As we speak, Joel Selwood named in the Geelong team to play GWS tonight. They're reserving the right to make a decision closer to game time, but he has flown to Sydney and is right to go by all reports.
Shouldn't play. Not comfortable with players playing the next week after concussions. Just not good if they get another knock.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how tough you are. Yeah. I find it highly unlikely that he'll play. I love him. But I think he should, given the seriousness of that. He was out.
But I just think they should be bringing in a rule.
Just a blanket.
It just should not be able to play the next week because everyone will tell you they've recovered, they've passed the test. That's all great. But what happens if they get another knock?
Yeah.
That's my thing.
I think they really need to tighten it up, and they have to a point, haven't they, BT? It was only as recently as 4 years ago, he would have actually probably come back on the ground last week under a certain scenario. So we were told back then, Jim, as we say a few times, that then was being sold as world's best practice operations for concussions. Now we've gone this 180 and it's now world's best practice to take them out of that game and potentially the next week. But
I'm surprised,
I'm with you,
I'm surprised the Players Association in the recent collective bargaining agreement haven't said and protected themselves by saying that they should have the next week
I'll
off.
I'll tell you why, because there's still an element of that the old mentality.
Must
that,
play.
Yeah, that, no, well, if you like Joel Selwood, who clearly recovers better and he hasn't had that many concussions either, BT. That's a bit of a...
I'm not worried about how many he's had.
He's had a few, though.
He gets cut a lot. But it takes away the guys that... It protects the guys like Joel Selwood against themselves. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Protect them against themselves.
Absolutely. Until we know... because we might think we know about the medical consequences, but we don't.
Yeah.
And as you know, Jim, with the NFL example that's now in front of everyone and is eventually seeping its way to other contact sports like the AFL, that will become a blueprint for what happens down here. It doesn't have to be a knockout effect, Doug. It can be the accumulation of just head being jolted. You don't have to be knocked out to actually suffer a major issue.
Any more there, Damo? Any more news?
Dean Robinson. But you've got something?
I was just going to ask JB about the Level 4 coaching meeting. JB, someone told me that you attended a meeting during the week involving all Level 4 coaches that were around.
Well, they weren't all there. There was a group of them.
Give us some names of what sort of quality of coach we're talking about.
Well, they're the ones that are potentially going to be the next senior coaches. So this particular one, Jade Rawlings was there. I'm trying to think who else.
Montgomery.
Montgomery was a very late withdrawal.
Dean Solomon, is he up to level four? I think.
Anyway, well, that
because
type
I've done now
player.
Two or three of them, and there's been three or four there.
So what happens at a level four?
It's a brilliant program the AFL run, which is to try and get these gentlemen ready to be senior coaches. So the reason I'm there is because they say, right, we want to expose you to recently retired, if you like, presidents.
Yep.
And you sit there and they say, right, if I'm going to front up to an interview to get a job, what are you looking for? What do you want to see? What don't you want to see? How do you want this to be handled? What are the type of things that will impress a panel?
So drawing on your experiences.
Yep, absolutely. And then once you have the job, how do you manage up to a board and to a chairman? How do you run that relationship well?
How do you present it?
Exactly right. When you go to the board meetings, if you do it once a month or once every 3 months, what is it that the board don't want to see? What do they want to see? Okay. It's
a high
brilliant
level.
Program. And it's getting these blokes ready.
And do you have to have your level four to be able to then take on an AFL job?
Good question. I don't know the answer to that.
They can't legislate that, BT. Right. There's nothing stopping a footy club doing what it wants to do, surely. But the recommendation is
James Hurd hadn't done the path. James Hurd hadn't done any.
No.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons they're now investing in this program, because they don't want that to happen. They want these blokes to be absolutely ready to go when the time comes. Very, very professionally run by the AFL, not by the AFL Coaches Association. Uh-huh. So it's a different thing. The Coaches Association involved in it, but the AFL run the program, and I think it's absolutely brilliant. They have people like Rick Charlesworth, John Buchanan as mentors, Neil Danaher.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'll tell you what else I did during the week, Bristol. First time ever, because my nephew played, and that's came here last night to watch the Vic Metro Under-18s play against South Australia. And it is no surprise to me now that these young kids come in and play as well as they do. The standard of footy last night was brilliant.
Mm.
I mean, it was very one-sided. Vic Metro won by 60 or 70 points. It was a one-sided game. But Bristol, the ball use, the field kicking, that in tight handball, the skills on display
the
were
composure at that age.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Really was. I was blown away by how good the standard was overall. Yeah. And apparently the game I missed was even better.
The West Australia Vic Country game was an absolute cracker.
Yep.
The skill level in that game was incredible.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that and saw a young Hill, not sure of where he fits in, whether brother or cousin, but he looked like a handy player.
Have to be a brother, I'd reckon.
I'll tell you who did play was Will Sutherland.
Yes.
James' son, who's the cricket football decision maker. He has got a decision to make because he was genuinely good and very good up the ground. Everyone, I thought he was just a clunking forward, but he got around the footy and showed some real good tricks.
What would you suggest there, Jim, given the Alex Keith situation where he chose cricket initially?
I haven't seen Will play cricket, so I don't know how good he is at cricket, but certainly
offers on both, and what if just for the sake of this argument, it was a 50-50 bet as to what sport he's better at? What would you recommend, being the cricketer with the background in cricket?
Cricket's, it's self-serving when I say this, Dame, but cricket's a much harder game.
There's only one Australian team.
Might be a good time to play cricket. You might just get old age straight in.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.